Warning: The Mended Futures podcast contains stories told by guests that may be sensitive to some people. Viewer and listener discretion is advised. The opinions expressed by guests do not reflect the views of the hosts and/or producers of this podcast.
Our last guest,
she's a superstar,
was informational.
Yeah. Inspiring.
Compelling.
Mm-hmm. So today we have Davina Bear, who founded DB Homes for Hope, which is a business that helps people
become homeowners.
I'm just like stunned because she told us stories, or a story in particular, where she saw someone from homelessness to home ownership within 1 year. Like 9 months, really.
Right.
No, 6 months. Because it was March to September. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's just still, like, I'm reeling from that.
So this one is an upstream look at how helping community members, helping neighbors with housing can impact the entire village.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for you all to listen to this.
Mm-hmm. We hope you enjoy.
Hey, Taylor.
Hey, girl.
You may not be able to tell, but I'm kind of cold.
Yeah.
It's pretty cold outside.
It's very cold.
Our guest today just came in, and we all have layers and coats and jackets,
yeah.
So it's definitely sweater weather.
Oh, yeah. I halted production to find my chapstick, so that's kind of where we're all at.
Yes.
But today, Davina Bear is joining us. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did. Thank
okay,
you.
Great.
Appreciate that.
Yes. So introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Davina Hunt Bear, and I'm the CEO and founder of DB Homes for Hope. And so
wonderful.
It's a real estate coaching company team, and we help people become homeowners, ultimately homeowners. We do a lot of partnering, but the main goal is to create generational wealth for families.
Hmm. That's amazing. So tell our guest how DB Homes for Hope began in 2020, and is there a story there? Why did your organization come about?
Well, I know it was right in the middle of the pandemic, and so I retired from the Army in 2017. I was a human resource officer for 20 years, and homes, like just having a place where a person could like plant their feet and settle. In the Army, you move every 2 to 3 years.
Mm.
But when you are about to retire, you start thinking about, where am I going to live?
Mm.
And so my children, I told them I would be home by the time they finished high school or start high school, in my son's case. And so it happened. He graduates in 2020.
Mm.
And so my husband and I, we did a couples retreat, because between the two of us, we have 6 kids. And so sometimes we need a little break.
Mm-hmm. And so, understandably so.
Yeah. We came to Lynchburg, and we realized in Lynchburg, you can actually buy a house for $5,000 to $7,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's an ugly house. You've got to renovate it. But we said, let's think about that.
Mm.
Went back to Charlottesville, where we were living, prayed about it. I was already packing, but he had been there for 38 years. So when he said, let's move, I was like, let's go.
Yeah.
And so we moved to Lynchburg in June of 2020. And we bought a house, and we renovated the house, and then we really make sure that people have that generational wealth access, that avenue, which is home ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And so we partner with them, help them with their credit, help them budget. Budget is not a bad word. It's not a bad word. It's actually a place that gives you freedom. And so we promote that with our clients.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we help them build their savings so they have 3 months of expenses saved. So the story is, yes, it happened in the middle of a pandemic, but out of that chaos came something great, because we are like building community with people. Some of my clients, they pay me with tuna fish because it's only $25 a week. I was like, I don't care how you come up with it.
Yeah.
Because I know that if you're going to fight that hard for it, when you get the keys to your house, oh my goodness, it's going to be life changing. And it has. This one lady went from being homeless to now a homeowner.
Wow.
And I started working with her in March, and she became a homeowner in September.
Of this year? Or of last year?
Yes, of 2024.
Wow.
And so she
in
had
the economy of 2024. That's incredible.
Yes. So, And she has such a modest income. Like she works in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And so the most that maybe she's made is like $15 or $16 per hour.
Mm-hmm.
But because she was so diligent and she followed the program and she had a desire not to keep paying her rent that kept going up, that was actually exceeding her income.
Mm-hmm.
And this, she became a homeowner. And like her shoulders all up and, you know, aww, and just confident, because it does, it just allowed her to change her trajectory.
Yeah.
So I know it's a long answer to that, but I just wanted
that's
you to.
Great. Yeah. That's powerful.
I feel like a lot of people who buy to renovate don't have that same heart of, we want to renovate, we want to make this place livable, but still not give it, but sell it at an affordable price. Could you talk a little bit about the process of how your organization works?
Yes. So DB Homes for Hope, essentially, like I said, we partner with people to coach them through financial coaching. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is you have to get a credit score that will allow you to gain a mortgage, which mm-hmm. is a 650 and above. So I've had clients who have a zero credit rating, credit score is only because they're normally very young,
mm-hmm.
or they're in the low 300s because they've destroyed their credit. But to become mortgage ready, we need them at a 650 and above. So I weekly coach them through that process. You know, pay your bills on time, like mm-hmm. number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing, we go into budgeting so that they can see that, you know, it's so essential, because if you have $1 million or 1,000, you still have to budget. Otherwise, you will not be able to maintain your home. So renovating the houses is one part of it,
mm-hmm.
but that's like, it's happened simultaneously with them getting their personal finances in order,
mm-hmm.
so they would qualify for a mortgage.
Cool.
And so we find normally the ugliest house in the neighborhood, because
yeah.
they're normally the cheapest. And my husband has a construction, he and his brother, Bear Brothers.
Cool.
And so they do that part of it. And I connect people with homes, and it actually builds the community too.
Yeah.
Mm.
So we pick up the trash. We do everything because we want to build community,
yeah.
not just, oh, we make money now. So we actually make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, our business will go out of business.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a win-win situation for mm-hmm. our neighbors, for our clients, and for our business.
It's like a more intentional Property Brothers situation.
Oh, yes. Very intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
cool.
I grew up in a large family, but our family home, it's a real small place still in Hampton, Virginia. But just having those keys, that meant that I didn't have to move schools. I didn't have to. I mean, like, that created stability.
Mm-hmm. And foundation.
It's still, yes, and it's still in our family. Like,
wow.
that house is not going out of our family. My aunt owns the house now. My maternal grandmother passed away, but it will remain in our family until there's not one of us left.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That's
yeah.
special.
Yeah, it's very special.
Yeah.
Where did your heart for helping people in poverty? Where does that come from?
Probably back to my upbringing. Like, I grew up with a lot of first cousins. And so we call her Nanny. That house that I'm talking about, that was her house. That house, you knew it had a pot of beans going for you. If someone was in trouble, they came to that house. It was like the central station.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people I knew Madea long before Madea was before Madea was a thing for Tyler Perry.
That's awesome.
But there was a lot of love that came from that house. And I didn't really know that I was poor or broke until I went to Hampton University, where I saw like people who live like the Huxtables in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably where it stemmed. But also in the military, you see people across all socioeconomic and diverse backgrounds. And I was a human resource officer.
Mm-hmm.
So I took care of the soldier and their family.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's something going on with the family, the soldier is not focused. And so whether they're downrange in Afghanistan or, you know, here domestically, when there's something going on with the family, they cannot think about other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's poverty, but it may not be financial poverty. It
mm-hmm.
may be poverty of the mind.
Right.
And so it's important to see the whole person. And as a human resource officer, that's what we saw. Like, we made sure you got paid. Yes, we made sure your medical readiness, so you were able to deploy. But we also wanted to make sure your family was strong enough to continue in your absence,
mm-hmm.
whether it was physical absence, or, you know, just you had to be focused for 60 hours a week while they're doing other things, making sure the spouses had their driver's license, just all of these things. You're supporting the family in order to ultimately support the mission. So, again, simultaneous missions happening.
And I think I like how you said your definition of poverty. You can have money and still be poor in some areas. Yes. Or, you know, I've heard people say you don't solve money problems with money. If you have bad money habits, you're going to have them if you have $1 million or $1,000, like
exactly
you said.
That's exactly right.
It's a good point.
Yes.
You're asking people to be really vulnerable with you.
I am.
Budgeting.
Yes. And I have a fiduciary responsibility as a credit counselor to not tell everybody their business, right? Like, so there's some comfort that I'm a safe harbor, and I am. But it's like, if you really want something bad enough, I don't know if you all have, actually, I know you have had children. All these things are hard, but there's reward. After 9 months of pregnancy and 30 pounds later, when you see that baby, you're so excited. Same concept. After 3 months of financial coaching and you get the keys to your house, or 6 months or a year, whatever, how long it takes you, all of the heartache, you don't even remember. You just know that the budget is your friend, because doing the budget allowed you to get the keys to your house. You now understand, oh, when tithing, giving to the community, you don't even second guess it anymore, because it's who you are. You practice 10, 10, 10, 50, 20, like it's a dance. You 10% give away your tithe, 10% save for emergencies, because you don't know when, you know, an accident's going to knock on your door, but you know it's going to happen. So you plan for it, and it doesn't stop you. It's just like, oh, okay, and keep going.
Making the best of reality.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I don't know if you all can see these gray hairs, but
you look great.
Definitely not.
Thank you. Dye works. Right. But that third 10% of saving for, you know, retirement or aging, so you can age gracefully, they don't even second guess it, and they learn to live on 50%. The first month is hard. Third month, it's old hat, like running. Or not pushing back from that, you know, chocolate cake. So.
It's so hard. It's so hard. I want to hear about how things went with your first client. Before, you know, you were this established name in the community, this sort of safe harbor that you mentioned, how did you earn that trust? Because it is a vulnerable space to enter into.
It is. Okay, so my first client was a gentleman who was referred to me, like, he wasn't even supposed to be my first client. Like, his friend was supposed to be my first client. But I interview people. The first time we meet, we have an interview to see if they're coachable. Because if you already know everything, you don't really need the coach, right? Because the coach is going to push you harder than you want to push yourself, because they see something in you that maybe you don't. And I'll just tell you his name, because his name was in the paper. So
It's out.
So Ron came to me as a referral from the person who was supposed to come and see me. And he said, do you think I can do this? It's like, yeah, why can't you? Like, and so I asked him, you know, are you going to commit to 3 months at a minimum? Now, granted, it took us about a year. And actually, Ron didn't even pay me. Like, so we were just in an agreement of coaching. And then my husband and I had renovated this house. And he said, do you think I can buy that house? I was like, yeah. We did all the steps. Yeah. You have your 650 and above credit score. You reduce your debt to income ratio to 43% and below. And he had gotten it really low. And you have 3 months of expenses saved. So I was like, here are the three vetted, you know, mortgage lenders that I deal with, and apply. He did. They said yes. And he even got down payment assistance.
Wow.
So essentially, they were paying you to move in the house. So he did, but it was really about overcoming struggles. Like, he has a story, and he had to overcome, like, a decade of being away from our community for a while. But he came back stronger. He's fully employed. He's a good citizen, can vote, can, you know, carry all of these things of good citizenship, right? And he's a what? Homeowner. And he's house hacking. I mean, he's just like, all those things are good, But what I'm most proud of with him, he became a believer.
Mm-hmm.
So these things aren't just about money and home ownership. It's about stewarding well what God has given us. Because mm-hmm. that means he trusts us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just like almost blushing because I feel like a mama
You're giddy
bear.
About it. Yeah.
Mama bear with Ron. Because he will not be homeless. He will not sleep on someone's sofa. Ron is also offering housing to someone else because, you know, part of his mortgage he pays through the rent that he gets from someone living in his house. And he's the first. Like, his parents don't own a home, his siblings don't, but Ron does.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's pretty powerful. And I'm like glad to be a part of that. So thank you for asking that one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a beautiful story.
So we're typically talking to people who are in the child welfare space, mm-hmm. but I think something that you're talking about is making sure people are housed.
Yes.
And making
it's a
sure.
huge deal.
Yes.
Right.
Making sure that you're a part of a community and that mm-hmm. you have neighbors and that you have pride in where you live
yes.
and that it's not transient. That is a huge part of child welfare. I mean, there are so many times where children have to go into kinship care or children mm-hmm. Are more vulnerable because of the housing situation.
Yes.
So that is a really powerful upstream. You're going upstream
yes.
to try to help figure out what's happening in families. Like you just said, your first client, no one in the family owns a house.
Right.
I've worked with kids before where there's nobody that they know that pays a bill or nobody that they know drives a car. How do we teach people if there is no model, if there is no, you know, so that's a really powerful thing that you're doing that will impact generations.
Thank you. And so I think to answer that question, at least in my small area, to answer that question, is help people dream.
Mm.
Because there are some things that my family has overcome, but until someone helped me, I'm a reader. Like the library is my friend. So it's free. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but you can dream about things and then you can see yourself in that dream. And so helping my clients see that you can be a homeowner. There's nothing wrong with renting, except it keeps going up.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point, your income won't pace with it. And so, but gaining a mortgage, for the most part, 15 to 30 years, it's going to stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
There may be subtle fluctuations with property taxes, but for the most part, this is stable and you're building equity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that you can give to your children. You can help with your family and then people can see it. So helping people dream. And one client, we really did. We got in my vehicle and we just drove around. Well, which one of the hills do you want to live in?
Mm-hmm.
Just pick one.
Mm-hmm.
They're all available to you.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you want? So helping people dream and then showing them how to overcome obstacles to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not easy, but it's doable.
It's simple, but not easy.
Right.
Yeah.
Simple, not easy. That's right.
Yeah.
That's true.
So you've mentioned a few different areas where stability is so important. You brought stability for soldiers and their families.
Yes.
At your time in the Army, you provide stability by teaching people, you know, healthy habits. How did you provide stability to your own family while you were moving around in the Army?
Creating a village. So there are two things when we moved, and we, like I said, every 2 to 3 years. Now, my late husband he did 30 years in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
He was a command sergeant major, infantry type. So, like, he's super hua, and I'm just huh. Like, he's like, but kept creating the village. So two things that we would find when we would go into a location, housing and a church. A church brings stability to a family. There's people in the church who want to love on you. There are people in the church who want to, you know, maybe they don't have kids, or maybe their children or grandkids are far away.
Mm.
They would love on my children.
Mm.
And I deployed in the Army. Like, I was post platoon leader, post commander, human resources. So you don't do those things stateside.
Yeah.
So that means I'm away.
Wow.
And so my late husband, when he retired in 2004, he took care of the children. He's the only house husband I knew who didn't stay home. But our neighbors helped us with the children. My extended family helped us with the children. And we do like weekly like family meetings and we do this thing. At the time, my kids hated it, but now it's something that they reflect back. Mm-hmm. We had called highs and lows at dinner.
Love it.
Yes. So we would come and talk about what was your low that happened in your day. Mm-hmm. But you got to end on the high. Yeah. We can end on a high note.
Yep.
But it's just a way for us to connect because I work 40, 60 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make sure that my children were solid when I'm trying to take care of America's children. I want to make sure my family's, you know, good to go. Mm-hmm. And just when I went to the field, my late husband took the kids to Disneyland or Disney World or, you know, because we're in Washington State on one part and so they went to California. But so they didn't suffer because mom had to soldier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was the one who did the baths and read the stories because he was there all day.
Mm-hmm.
We just, what worked for our family worked for our family. It wasn't about gender.
Yeah.
You know, I nursed the kids. He couldn't do that. But, but it was just like we traded off and we created definitions and traditions that were for our family.
Mm-hmm.
Like Christmas, we vacation. Just, we did things that worked for our family.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And we let the kids switch their decor in their room every move. And so they look, they anticipated.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Revamp.
They didn't know the budget was $100 or less. It didn't matter.
Right. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for your service. Oh,
you're welcome. Yes. It was a pleasure. I can't believe they pay me to read and write, but okay.
That's awesome. I love looking at it that way. That's very cool.
How do some vulnerable young people find stability through the armed forces? How have you seen that?
Okay. I'm going to talk about my own story because the Army allowed me to become middle class, upper middle class.
Mm.
The Army paid for my undergraduate degree at Hampton University, which is an expensive school.
Mm-hmm.
They paid for my master's degree at Virginia Tech. And they were going to send me for a PhD. I was like, okay, 20 years is enough time. So the Army allowed me to see out. The Army allowed me to travel. And I got to see different cultures because I grew up in a big family, but it was insulated. So I saw my little world. Like I said, I didn't even know I was broke until I went to Hampton University because all of my basic needs were met and I was comfortable with that, but it stretched me.
Mm-hmm.
The Army allowed me to speak publicly. Now I was, as a kid, I got those little slips. Davina's talking too much in class. Okay, I'm a talker. But it allowed me to be confident in my voice and not to, you know, slouch or, you know, it allowed me to research. It kept me fit. Now, of course, I'm a few pounds over now. But the reality is it helped me be very conscious on health. So type 2 diabetes, which is an epidemic in my family. It's like a first cousin in my family.
Mm-hmm.
With the Army, I don't see that in my future because it allowed me to rethink how I eat.
Wow.
The Army allowed me to have friends all across the world. Like, there's not one place when I go to a different state or country so far that I don't call up a buddy and say, hey, I'm coming into your area of operation, AO.
Wow.
And they welcome.
That's very special.
Yeah. It is special.
You have a network, a global network.
Yes. Like I said, you're creating that village.
Mm-hmm.
And we push each other hard in the military. I'm sure they do in other places.
I'm sure it makes you a good coach.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
But you bring out something in people that maybe they were hesitant or maybe someone said you couldn't do it. And we're like, oh, no, like we can do anything we set our mind to.
Allison and I are excited to talk to you about our very first sponsor of the Mended Futures podcast, Mission House Coffee.
Mission House is locally owned, and their goal is to be a place that is known for delicious coffee, obviously, food and baked goods, and beloved care and acceptance they show to the people that they serve.
They also have their own coffee distributor called Mission House Roasters, where you can order their signature blends online and start brewing your own Mission House coffee right in your home.
One of my favorite things about Mission House and the name Mission is they have a pay it forward board where you can purchase something for someone else in the community and leave a nice note an affirmation, or you can go to the board and pick something that applies to you. So it's a way to serve your neighbors and show love to people that we don't even know.
Mm-hmm. So come on down to Mission House Coffee and experience a place where you feel an abundant sense of love and acceptance from their staff and the community they serve.
And hearing you talk about your own story, some of the things that you're going to be coaching your clients through could be life or death.
Absolutely.
If you're talking about budgeting, if you're talking about healthier choices, being more intentional, I'm just thinking about the times that I've worried about money, the times where I was managing a department of people in a stressful situation, knowing that some of them were worried about money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your finances are not in order, that is so incredibly stressful.
Yes. Major distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Major distraction. You're supposed to have, ammunition going downrange. You're thinking about, is this check going to bounce?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this thing going to happen?
What unexpected
car
repair? I've talked with Todd Blake at Parkview a few times. You never know what a neighbor has gone through that causes them to be homeless or not be able to pay their rent or not be able to pay a bill. It could be an unexpected house repair or an unexpected car repair. So I think that's important.
It is.
You know, anticipating, dreaming, but also anticipating that sometimes you're going to have lows.
Right. And so expect lows. We live in a fallen world, right? So expect the highs and lows of life. But with emergency fund, when that happens, it's like, oh, this is just a little pause.
Mm.
It's not a showstopper.
Mm-hmm.
Without an emergency fund, now you're using the credit card to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're maybe raising your voice at your spouse and children because you're so stressed. But with an emergency fund, it's like an umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting wet today.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep going. And then, you know, next month, well, every month, I've got to put that 10%. So it's constantly growing. You don't stop it. It's continuous because you've learned to live on 50%.
Mm.
And then when that debt is 20% and below, now you can push that, not for living up beyond 50%, but those top three, the tithe, the saving for an emergency and saving for travel and all these other things. And then the third 10% saving for long-term, aging.
Mm-hmm.
So you can age gracefully. But never live off more than 50%.
Mm-hmm.
The income will go up, which means the amount goes up, but the percentage does not. So whether it's recession, depression, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
your family is solid.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. yeah.
What made you decide to retire from the Army?
My kids went to high school.
Right.
So, I had promised my son, who's 23 now, and married. Oh, my gosh. I know. It's so crazy. But I told him that I would be home by the time he started high school. And
mm-hmm.
so I was.
Mm-hmm.
Kids need you when they're young, but they really need you as teenagers because they can get in a muck of trouble. So,
Allison?
Right.
I did not know you were going to say that, but I will say amen.
Yes.
That'll preach. I changed the way that I worked very drastically this past year because my son just started high school
mm-hmm.
and my daughter just started middle school. And adolescents are my chosen species.
Yes.
And do not let go of the steering wheel. This is not the time to let go.
It is not for the weak at heart. Right?
No.
Not at all. And with technology, like, I'm not really a tech guru, but I knew I needed to learn some
mm-hmm.
things because my kids are smart and they can work around some stuff. I needed to be home. And, you retire, you still get 50% of your income. So if you're already living on 50%, mm-hmm. you're still able to live very comfortably. And I learned some new recipes and,
There you go.
Right. I'm never going to be the cool mom because that's not what I desire to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be the mom that's present.
Mm-hmm.
And so even in the Army, somehow I wasn't physically present, but they knew the presence of mom was there.
Right?
So we've got eyes
mom
everywhere.
Was gonna know.
Right. Yes. And we're our kids' biggest cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm.
So home is powerful. We can make or break our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be the ones who encourage them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow. So the title of this podcast is about mended futures.
Yeah.
Are you the product of a mended future?
For sure. My parents were 17 and 18 when I was conceived. So I don't know about you, but when I was 17 and 18, I couldn't have been anybody's parent.
Right.
Not successfully.
I shouldn't have been anyone's parent, you know?
Yes, for sure. And so we were talking about education. My dad went to college. My mom didn't. I went to college and graduated. My son went to college and graduated. So low education or low literacy, that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I read something, and I can't even remember the source, but it's been many moons ago, that it takes three generations to overcome certain, you know, mended fences, right?
Mm-hmm.
So low literacy, that's done.
Mm-hmm.
Teen pregnancy, done.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were, you know, they conceived me when they were teenagers. I had my children when I was 26 and 30 and very married, because it takes a lot of effort to raise children. And then my son, who's 23, my daughter's 19. So next year she'll turn 20, or mm-hmm. actually this year in September she'll turn 20. So we would have gotten over that teen mm-hmm. pregnancy. Can people overcome these things? Yes. And the same thing with poverty. Poverty with money, poverty with mindset. My dad in college showed me how to get a townhouse. We couldn't find an apartment that my girlfriends and I could live in that we could afford.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he told me, we're going to get this townhouse. And I was like, me? Like,
yeah, what do you mean?
Yes. He said, just don't tell them that you own it because mm-hmm. they won't pay.
Mm-hmm.
So I told them that my dad owned it. Technically, he was doing all the work. So that mm-hmm. wasn't a lie.
Mm-hmm.
It was something. Anyway, but they paid. And so that was my first introduction to real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. And then when I was in the military, of course, I owned rentals with my late husband. And we've been doing it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
So this idea of poverty, my children have never known lack.
Mm.
Actually, sometimes I need them to know it so they'll realize that, hey, you know, there's no tree that's growing in our backyard. But they store money well because they've been hearing about it since they were like two.
Because
once you're 2 years old, I'm thinking like everybody can now start to distribute money.
You get a piggy bank.
Right. And mm-hmm. so you can see that dollar that you got for taking out the trash, you earned it.
Mm-hmm.
And now how are we going to distribute it?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't pay your 10 cents to church, you don't get to spend for the rest of the week. And so they just learn these details. So that's three things for my family. Education, I'm going to say low literacy, because we went to
mm-hmm.
my aunties, my uncles, they graduated from high school.
Mm-hmm.
My mom graduated from high school, but college, the next level.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that we didn't have. But three generations now, done.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with home ownership. Done. My son wholesales. Like, it's so crazy. He told me, he said, Mom, I'm going to start wholesaling. I was like, oh, okay, great. And, you know, it was in my head that he was going to do it because he said it. But when he did his first deal and he called me up, he's taking a picture with the lady that he helped. I was just like, this is wonderful. So Papa Rogers helped me.
Yeah.
I taught you these things, and now you're doing it. Three generations.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with teen pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, we don't, our family, we don't do these three things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we help others.
And I love the thing about hope. You know,
yes.
Kids, families need to know that there is hope.
Absolutely.
And just hearing that story that you, I mean, you got a bulleted list
yes.
of three things that aren't an issue for your family
right.
anymore.
We're trying to get one more, and that's that type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So far, we haven't been successful. Both of my parents have type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that comes from food, like mm-hmm. what we eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, you know, genetic like type 1.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, because of food. So I don't have type 2 diabetes and neither one of my children, but we're trying to get through three generations.
Mm-hmm.
So we find ourselves in the YMCA and, you know, counting micros. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
we want to stay away from that. And mm-hmm. we will, like we've overcome those other three.
Hmm. What would you say to other property owners about being a benevolent landlord? because, well, I don't know if you have as much experience in the landlord space as you do with the selling homes and the coaching, but
I do.
Or in the property development space.
Yes. I know that Lynchburg is very known for the people who can afford it, own multiple properties, mm-hmm. and then they rent it out, and it can sometimes contribute to more harm than good.
Or gentrification.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
Let me say this. I don't think the guilt is of the Lord, so I never try to guilt my fellow investors mm-hmm. and things like that, but I do show them how it can be a win-win. Mm. So you can still make a load of money and still do well in our community, like to help our neighbors. So I just keep presenting things to people because at some point their hearts will soften. Mm. Because if I've already shown you how the books balance, so you're still getting the return that you desire and you can still help a neighbor, most times they come on board. There's several investors doing something similar, maybe not as intentional as I am, but they are doing it. And then there are some people who are just all out for the dollar. Mm-hmm. We're changing one family at a time. Mm-hmm. And then it circles out. So I believe in the power of prayer. Mm-hmm. I believe that as you're driving around neighborhoods and walking past neighborhoods, just pick up the trash. Mm-hmm. Something simple, because people have FOMO, fear of missing out. Mm-hmm. Why are you picking up my trash? And they start doing it. Mm-hmm. Well, you should. This is your property line. And this if you're living it, even if you're not the owner, if that's where your address, you should help out your neighborhood, because mm-hmm. that's where you live.
So we had Pastor James from Hill City Church.
Sarah and James. Yes.
Okay, so we had Pastor James on the podcast months ago, and he spoke at the citywide revival mm-hmm. in November about Bless the City.
Yes.
And how maybe we're not meant to move out of this city. Maybe we are supposed to dwell here.
Yes.
For generations. Mm-hmm. And I'm a fourth, fifth generation in this area. Okay. So I'm going to be in this area. Yes. But it was a really compelling sermon rooted in Isaiah about how you're supposed to have a home here, and you're supposed to marry, and you're mm-hmm. supposed to bless this city. How are you seeing the fruits of your labor blessing the hills, the seven hills? How are you seeing the fruits of your labor already?
Well, we're going to talk about White Rock. And I'm going to come back to the story on White Rock just a moment, but mm-hmm. I want to put it in the parking place. But remember the children of God's chosen people, the Israelites, right? They were in Egypt. We know that they were going to be there for a long time. He said, make sure that you multiply, right? Mm-hmm. Do well.
Here. Right here.
Mm-hmm. We know that you don't think this is home, but right now it is. So that sign that says Lynchburg loves you, we need us to say Lynchburg, we love it by, you know, growing our community. Now back to White Rock. Okay. So White Rock is where we renovated a house that should have, I mean, essentially it was like on the list to be bulldozed. Mm-hmm. We bought the house for $5,000. It was a house that was burnt out. We renovated that house, $80,000 to $100,000 renovation, and then we sold the house for $225,000. Because of that, that family has now, that whole community, the city gets property taxes, right? So bills up. That one house has now changed the dynamic of that community. Other people are renovating in that area. When you say gentrification, we didn't push out the people who already lived there, but they started picking up their trash. Mm-hmm. They started painting their houses. Mm. So people need to dream that my neighborhood can look just as good as any other place. Mm-hmm. But it starts with me. Mm-hmm. It starts with me. So that's how I see the immediate fruits of my labor. Mm-hmm. Same thing with, you know, the other houses that we've renovated. We purposely get the ugliest one because it's the cheapest one. Mm-hmm. And renovate, and then call other investors and say, hey, there are other houses up here that need a little love, a whole bunch of love, to tell you the truth. And it helps. And it helps the neighbors who are in that neighborhood, because now the equity in their house goes up. Mm-hmm.
And it's teaching them to have higher standards for themselves.
Yes. Yes.
And something to be proud of.
Yes.
You know, something that you can pass down. That's powerful work in a few short years.
Right. And people start planting flowers. When you start to see people planting flowers, you know they're going to be here for a while. They're trying to get some depth.
Yeah.
And churches have a huge impact. You were talking about, you know, James Hobson, like, he's going to be around. His wife and he are landlords.
Mm-hmm.
They take great care of the places that they own because they love the city and they love the people. You can't pull those two things apart.
Mm-hmm.
They're a whole. So, yeah. And then it becomes a pandemic in a different way.
Mm. A positive.
Yes.
It's contagious.
It is contagious. It is contagious. And so when the congregation sees them doing it, they do it.
Mm-hmm.
When your peers see you doing positive things, they want to mimic it. And it just keeps it, it's a pandemic in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And Lynchburg is my new home. Like, so yeah.
I love that. To finish up, I want to honor your family tradition of doing highs and lows at dinner.
Okay.
And ask you about the highs and lows of coaching. So what are your favorite things about coaching and what are the biggest challenges about coaching?
So the way
you have to do the opposite.
That's right.
Oh, my bad.
Right.
Of course.
So my low of coaching is when my client gives up.
Mm.
And so normally if that happens, I pause and I will say something like, I'm sorry, this is a tough day for you. Do you still want to become a homeowner? And I just stop talking. Most times they say, yes, I want to. they have this attitude like, why would you ask me a stupid question? Well, you were about to quit.
Mm.
We can cry it out. We can hug it out, all that. But quitting is not an option if you want to become a homeowner. So that's my low. Because we all get to a point where it's real hard. But you can't quit. Mm-hmm. Quitting is not an option. So that's my low. My high is when they get those keys.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. So two of my clients have been in the paper for getting keys. And so just having the whole community celebrate that.
Mm.
Some of them, well, both of them, they were told that they couldn't do something.
Mm.
And here they are doing the unthinkable. That's my absolute high. I mean, it feels like they're my children. And one of them is older than me. But I'm so proud that they did the hard work. And it's, I don't know if you guys know that song, I'm Coming Out.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Like, whoa. Like, you did the natural, allowed God to put the super, and here you are.
Mm.
And then I still stick with them for 2 years because you want to make sure they don't go to that foreclosure because it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, I've had one person say, you know, some families aren't going to be able to do it. I say, well, the families who quit, they won't be.
Mm-hmm.
But if this person is making $15, $16 an hour can do it, and this person right here who hasn't been in our society for a decade can do it, the rest of us don't have any excuse not to.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if someone who was unhoused goes to owning a home within the same year,
yes,
it's possible for anyone.
Absolutely.
Mm, that's very inspiring. Yep. Thank you for the work you do.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a joy. I'm having the time of my life.
Good.
So, I want to ask you, what if people listening know somebody? Or what if people listening are somebody who are interested in your coaching or your services? What's the first step? Do they need to do anything before they reach out to you?
No. We're going to partner and do it together. What they do need to do is go to the website or give me a call because I don't know them who they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they need to reach DB Homes for Hope, dbhomesforhope.com.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to go there and it simply says, let's talk.
Mm-hmm.
And they can, you know, read through the things or just immediately, you know, make contact because I get up really early in the morning, but I go to bed like clockwork at 9 p.m. I need my full 8 hours of sleep.
You and I
have so much in common. I tell people that I'm like a chicken. I go to bed with the chickens,
right,
and I'm up with them. Yes. But do not reach out to me after 9 o'clock unless something is on fire.
Right. And so my phone's on do not disturb. Mm-hmm. So only a few people can get through.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the first step. Reach out. Because we can do it together. We can do it together.
Wow. Do you want to talk about any nonprofits that you're connected with? Like, I know you know, is there anything else that we didn't ask you that you would like to say?
Well, I'm the president of No Walls, No Walls Ministry here in Lynchburg. And again, it's still about housing. Mm-hmm. It's about housing and helping the whole person. We have this thing called the Open Table. And so a friend will come to us and, you know, maybe they need help with financial coaching. That's my aspect that I help. Maybe they need help with, you know, healthcare. So we have people around the table who have an expertise in something, and we're helping our friend meet those needs that they have. And so the other thing that we do with No Walls Ministry, appliances. Mm-hmm. Do either one of you all take your dirty laundry, get on a bus and go to laundromat?
Mm-mm.
No. Can you imagine doing that? Some of our neighbors do.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to stop that. We want them to have a working washer and dryer mm-hmm. in their home.
Mm-hmm.
It's back to that stability. It matters. We want kids to go to school with clean clothes, mm-hmm. not have to wait till the end of the week because it's such a hassle. It doesn't have to be a brand new washer dryer. It just has to be a serviceable one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we meet those needs and No Walls. We have the slogan that we say, we don't compete with other nonprofits. We complete the need in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I just wanted to share that piece because the whole person, we want them to get A's in the 4 F's, faith, family, fitness, and finances. Mm-hmm. And we can do it together here in Lynchburg.
It's almost like you're becoming someone's board of directors.
Right.
I heard that not too long ago, that every individual needs their board of directors.
Absolutely.
Like you need your council.
Wow. Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
You need your council to where, you know, I know Davina's good at finances.
Right.
I know Taylor could help me with all the things.
Nothing at all.
All the creative things. But you need spiritual advisors. Mm-hmm. You need people who aren't just your yes people. You need people that are going to help you with the we can do hard things.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Together we can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody needs a yes person. Like,
yeah.
It's not good for
right,
you.
It is not, because that's not a good friend. Like, that's not.
No.
They should tell you when you're coming out, you know, coloring outside the lines. That's
and when
for
that
you.
Outfit doesn't look good, like
yes.
say it.
Yes.
Or when your hair shouldn't be pink.
Don't say it.
Or when your hair should not be blonde like Black Barbie. I went to the Caribbean and we had a great time, but next month, or actually the end of this month, I'm going back to my regular color.
Okay.
This was fun.
Yeah, you tried it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not my thing. But someone should tell you, hey, cute. But not your long-term plan.
Right? It's always helpful to hear someone's honest opinion.
Yes, that's right. But yeah, just having a team of people. I call them the village. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's an old adage that says, it takes a village to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a village for us to adult, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody needs someone in these different, because we all have different strengths.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an administrator, I'm a giver, and I'm an exhorter.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not necessarily one that you're going to come and cry and just lay there for a long time. That's not my strength.
You didn't do that in the Army?
No.
You're not going to hug it out?
Probably not. But
so folks, don't call her if you want warm and fuzzy.
Right, yeah. You know, but we have other people on the team that are warm and fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not my giftedness.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to make a plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the administrator comes in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I love that. You thought of the village as well as you were talking about going into certain neighborhoods. And I can picture the abandoned houses, the trash. I can think of the violence, mm-hmm. the, you know, the broken windows. You hear if the village doesn't keep the children warm, the children will burn the village down. So it's the idea of creating these healthy neighborhoods that nurture all the generations, the intergenerational relationships that should be happening in the neighborhoods.
So not just intergenerations, but also different groups of people. Mm-hmm. Everybody in Lynchburg should live in any neighborhood that you want to in Lynchburg.
Mm-hmm. And not talk about zip codes. If I were to get on my soapbox, one of my least, and for the record, one of my least favorite things we do here is refer to zip codes.
Yes.
Stop it.
So I was not aware of that until I moved to Lynchburg. And so just like I was saying, driving the client around, I want you to live in any zip code you want to. I want all of our schools to be a quality school, yeah, so all of our students can enjoy a quality education, mm-hmm, right? I want all of our neighborhoods to be safe. So if you see something, neighbor, mm-hmm, I need you to say something, mm-hmm, so that none of us are afraid. Because, mm-hmm, I live in a walkable neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I can go to the restaurant. I can go to the mailbox, get flowers on the way, Riverside Runners. I live in a very walkable neighborhood. But I also wanted to make sure that I was in walking and running and biking distance from where I invested. Mm-hmm. Because if it's not good enough for me to live there,
right,
why would I want my other neighbor to live there? Mm-hmm. And so that's what my husband and I, we wanted to make sure that we, wherever we invested, we would live there too. Mm-hmm. If not, that means we're part of the problem, right? Mm-hmm. We want to be part of the solution.
Thanks for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Mended Futures podcast, hosted by Allison Jordan and Taylor Melvin, produced by Liam Chafin, Sue England, Allison Jordan, Robert Day, Sully Jugar, and Taylor Melvin. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to like, share, and subscribe to see more.